The scripture reading for today is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us to understand this portion of His holy word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as the choir sang for us today, they gave to us a glimpse of that day in the future when we shall stand in your presence and hear not only angelic choirs, but choirs of redeemed people out of every nation, all over the world, of every tongue, singing your praise. And Lord, when we think of that great day, and when we think of the fact that you remember that we're dust, and you take pity on us, and we're so frail, and so complex, and so contradictory at times, and yet you pity your children, you remember that we're dust. Lord, we come to you to praise you that you've given to us such a great destiny. Lord, fix in our minds the tremendous future that your children have. And may that great destiny govern our lives as we fall in love with you. Speak to us now in the quiet of this day. Minister to those in need, especially for Jesus' sake. Amen. You can almost always tell a person who is earning his salvation. There's a tenseness about it, a fear, a rigidity. Contrasted with those who know salvation by faith, this is what the Bible teaches, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And the results of the doctrine have an effect on a person's life, and there's a confidence and a peace and a joy evidenced. But never a complacency. But never laziness, but never callousness. You see, when we believe that we're saved by grace through faith and that it's not of ourselves, there might be the temptation to just lay down and do nothing. That should never be part of our life. Now, usually, the person who's working for their salvation throws all of their energy into it. It does create some of the tenseness and the fear and the rigidity of their lives, but at least they're doing something. And they look at us and they say, "But I don't see it." And the Word of God today says that they should be able to see something. And so this word of caution: be very careful then how you live. Well, if I don't have to earn my salvation, why should I be so careful? Why not just enjoy it all? be very careful. Why? If heaven is secure and eternal, if heaven is secure, why should I worry? Well, eternal life doesn't begin over yonder after the death experience. Eternal life begins when you believe. Or it doesn't begin at all. Don't think that you can live as a believer and live for the devil and then expect to wake up in the presence of God one day. That's a whole contradiction of what God has revealed. Eternal life now. Eternal life in its quality aspect now. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, it's a present reality, hath everlasting life. Well then, why do we have to be so careful? Why does the word of God say to us there in Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live? If our eternal destiny doesn't depend on it, why? And I'd like to answer that question today from this paragraph. First of all, because there is the danger of misinterpreting some things in life. And the first thing that I think you're in danger of misinterpreting is time. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. God has a plan for you now. God is in the process of making you something now. God is in the process of demonstrating some things in your life now. God is in the process of making you somebody for eternity. As we look at the Bible attitude towards time, it looks at the span of our life as a vapor, as a breath on a winter morning, as a summer flower. Boy, wouldn't it be nice if these flowers lasted for a long time? That yellow one over there, well, it's just about gone now. What was it, a week? It's gone. Now we're going to have to wait until next spring before we see the beautiful forsythia bloom again. And the Bible says that's the way life is. That's the way life is. You've got to be very careful about the way you live because God didn't guarantee you so many years, so many days. And we have the tendency to think that we're never going to die, that nothing's going to come into our lives. We misinterpret time. And with every tick of the clock, there's a segment of time that's gone forever. You'll never be able to get it back again. Do you misinterpret time? With the tick of the clock, you've missed an opportunity. You've missed an opportunity to be someone. You've missed an opportunity to share with someone. If you're not very careful. Look back on last week. What did you really do that meant something? What did you really do that meant something? Did you really come to grips with loving somebody last week? Did you really come to grips with that sin that so easily besets you last week? Did you really come to grips maybe with a truth in the promises of God that there every time you open the Bible it seems that it glares at you and convicts you and says, what about this? And you have that shouting voice inside condemning. Have you come to grips with that this week? What was it really this week? Now there were seven precious days. What did you really do that was worth something? That really had a lasting value to it. If you have trouble there, are you misinterpreting the passage of time? Thinking that there'll always be another day, another hour, another time to confront the sin, another time to learn the truth, another time to love. Do you really believe that? The Bible is saying, in the light of time, you're to make the best use of every opportunity. Be very careful then how you live. The second thing that we're in danger of misinterpreting is our environment. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Sometimes I sit myself down and I have to really talk sternly with myself about who the enemy is. You have a problem with that? You know, if it was a war going on, I'd know who the enemy is. And there is a war going on, and I should know who the enemy is. The days are evil. But there are things that come into our lives that help, that sort of hinder us from really keeping that in sharp focus. All of the beautiful things that we have because of the advancement of science. All of the medicines and medical care. All the machines that we drive and the conveniences that we have and all of that. Sometimes we are misled. We misinterpret the environment. The days are evil. And I've got to come to grips with the evil that's in me. And you must do that too. You must come to grips with it. For if you don't, the evil in the world, the evil of the day we live in, will certainly find an ally inside. And we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. Paul looked out on his day and says, the days are evil. If he looked out on our day, he would shake his head and say, they're evil. The values are being reversed. To live a righteous life is to become a butt of jokes. We mustn't misinterpret this. We must not misinterpret our environment. Our days are evil, and we've got to be careful the way we live. The third misinterpretation that might creep into our lives is the misinterpretation of our purpose. Why are we here? We're here for God. Don't let anybody cause you to mistake that truth. You're here for God. Could you settle that today? You're here for God. I think that's one of the things that grips me and makes me sad, is the music of our day. Do you know that the music and every man's tongue and every man's voice and every man's joy should be directed to God? You're here for a purpose. You were made for God. You were made to bring glory to Him. You were made to serve Him. And you can misinterpret that purpose. Do you see it in the text? Let's look at it. Verse 18, do not get drunk on wine. Now he's talking, he's just following this with, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. All right. Understand why you're here. Now you're having a contrast. Drunk with wine on one hand, full of the Spirit on the other. Contrast, understand what the will of God is. See, if you don't embrace the fact that you were created to bring glory to the living God, then you might misinterpret the whole of your life and begin to think that your purpose is to find enjoyment and satisfaction for yourself. That leads in a particular path that's destructive, and Paul epitomizes all of that by saying, don't get drunk with wine. That's excess, that's debauchery, that's destruction. You see, someone else looked at this and they said, You got to fill a man with something. And either he's going to be filled with wine or some other substitute, or he's going to be filled with God. You see, what the world looks for in wine and those substitutes for God, God gives. And so, when you come and hear the saints sing, oh, it's beautiful. I was standing up in the back there listening to you sing that opening hymn. That was beautiful. But tell me, did you sing at least as enthusiastically as some drunks sing? Huh? Did you? That's in the text. You notice that you might say, well, the common thing in a church is, well, I can't teach a class and I can't sing in the choir. Therefore, there's nothing for me to do. You know, it's a nice act. I never decided that there were a whole lot of other things that didn't involve teaching a Sunday school class or speaking in public or singing in the choir. But notice what it says here. It doesn't say that the person has to be a trained soloist of some sort, but it says speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. You know what that's talking about? I tried to conceptualize this, and I came up with, walking the dog in the rain. You know, have you ever done that? The dog has to go, but she doesn't want to go because it's raining out. And you've got to be out there patiently walking the dog up and down. Singing and making joy, melody in your heart to the Lord. In a situation like that, have you ever had an experience where the joy of the Lord just strikes you and you say, boy, look at this rain. Isn't it beautiful? God sent it. Isn't it great to be alive and even feel the raindrops on you? Isn't it beautiful to be out here today in the rain? And because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you found your purpose and you know that you're there for God, you're not kicking and grumbling and cursing over the dumb situation you find yourself in. That's something that you don't have to wait for Sunday morning at 11 o'clock to lift your voice and praise to God. That's something you do in your heart all the time because God so filled you with His purpose and you found your notch in life and you know what it's all about. You're not running around trying to satisfy that vacuum that never is satisfied apart from God and downing the alcohol or the drugs or going on an entertainment binge or whatever it is. There's a difference, isn't there? You see, the Word of God says, be very careful then how you live, because you could misinterpret your purpose. And you could go down the wrong track and think that you've got to entertain yourself and find one great experience after another. And the people who can afford that kind of thing end up kind of wasted. The Word of God says, don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's your purpose. You've been made for God. Just one word of explanation on that word filled. It means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You give Him control of your life. How do you give Him control? You know what God says. You allow Him to control you in the terms of the Word of God. And I say that because the Greeks use that word, the Greek word, that's where the ultimate authority is. The Greek word, they use that to describe a ship that was not filled with a cargo, but had a crew. Do you see that? The crew controlled the ship. And so the ship was full when it had a crew. and you're filled when the Holy Spirit has control. Does that mean that you're not Carl Abrahamson or Grace Abrahamson? Or I'm picking on my family today. But does that mean that you're not that person anymore? No, it means that you're more that person because that's what God created you for. One other misinterpretation. You can misinterpret your circumstances. You can look around you and think that God is angry with you. You can look around and think that God is way out somewhere else and not paying any attention to you. But you notice what it says? It says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. You see, we're careful about our lives. We must be careful. But it's not a fear. It's not a rigidity. It's a joy. For response. But also it's a response that tests us every day according to our circumstances in which we have an opportunity to say, yes, Lord, everything went wrong this week. Praise God. I know you care, and I know you allowed it to happen. Praise you. Praise your name. Can you do that in the circumstances? This helped the person that I was talking with. I said, you know, when you were a kid and you played on a team in high school, the coach wasn't really interested in your comfort, was he? No, he wasn't. He was interested in your performance. He was interested in your willpower. He was interested in making you an athlete. He wasn't interested in your comfort. And I don't think God's interested primarily in your comfort. He's interested in your being. Ah, coach, not another 5 laps. Oh. But one day you might come back and say, coach, we won the game because we had the stamina that those 5 laps represented. Let's look at our lives, our circumstances, with the maturity of an adult Christian who understands that the sovereign God, there's nothing that goes beyond his notice. But that because I know in a sovereign, all-powerful God who loves me, I come and say, thank you, Lord, for everything. You see what that does to your faith? We come to the table today to remember Jesus Christ who died for us. In light of that, couldn't we say, thank you, Lord, for everything? The worst they can do to you is kill you. Right? That's the worst that could happen to you. And you're in the presence of God. You're out from this lost, sinful world with all of its problems, with all of its struggles. You're in the presence of God. We've got to see our lives in their totality, not in this little segment that's like a breath in the wintertime, like spring flowers. Like grass that grows and is mowed. No. Be very careful then how you live. You might misinterpret the time you have. You might misinterpret the environment you live in. You might misinterpret your purpose. You might misinterpret your circumstances. And all of these would keep you from knowing what God really has for you. At the Lord's table today. Could we come back on this one point and say, Lord, you gave yourself for me. And I see that again. I want to give myself to you today. In this, as I partake of this communion service, I want to give myself totally for you. I recognize that I have been created for your glory. Lord, let it be. Whatever. Whatever the cost of that glory to your name, I want that for my life today. Let's pray.
The privilege to have
Russell with us today, and he's going to share in his own words what Jesus Christ means to him. Lord bless you, Russell.
I was brought up in not knowing the Word of God, and I live my life without His guidance, and I never really even thought about the church or attending it or anything about it until the Lord started to work in my brother Doug's life. And my brother Doug and I had a lot in common before we knew Christ. And the things we did were far from the Lord and filled with sin. And he worked a lot of good things in my brother's life that I took notice of. And they were really beautiful, and his life really changed. However, I rejected this, and I continued in my lifestyle. And I just became consumed by the world's sins, by doing what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And I wound up in a really bad state of affairs. And it eventually put me into the hospital. And it was there that I asked Jesus into my heart. And he came to me, and I prayed. And from that day on, it's been a beautiful experience. And I've been growing in Christ. And it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Thank you.